Happy Mother's Day. Today is the day, of course, that we celebrate moms. Thinking back to your own mother, what are your favorite memories, or what is your favorite characteristic of your mom that you can think of? Turn to somebody near you and tell that to that person. What's your favorite characteristic or favorite story or favorite anything that you remember about your mom? Let's think about our moms this morning. Well, most of us have good memories about our moms. Hopefully we have at least one good memory of our mom. Many people dream of having their own children someday. And unfortunately, not all women who want to have children are able to have children. They're physically unable to do so. This morning we're going to hear from two women, and the first woman is someone who was unable to have children on her own, but that didn't stop her from becoming an auntie to many, many children, including my own. So Billy, would you come up and share with us, please?
My name is Billy, and as a result of the Agent Orange my dad was exposed to in Vietnam, I was born with several birth defects. One of those defects was discovered when I was 25. I had a band of tissue that was attached from the wall of my abdomen and stretched out like a spider web out and around and into my ovaries. I had surgery and it was removed, but that was when they discovered that I had PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. This was in 1995, and like I said, I was 25. I wasn't thinking about getting married or having kids. I hadn't even met my husband yet. I was just really more focused on the havoc that the PCOS was causing the rest of my body. Fast forward 5 years, we were married. We'd been married about a year, and we decided, okay, we're ready for kids. And for the better part of the next 10 years, from 2000 to 2010, we tried to get pregnant. I saw doctor after doctor. I had surgery. I went to specialists. My body betrayed me. It just wouldn't work right. When I turned 40, we gave up. I was sad. I was jealous when I would see teenagers get pregnant, and it seemed like there were times when people would just, you know, girls could just look at somebody and be pregnant, and I was upset and angry. I was confused. I'd have been a pretty decent mom, I think. They would have at least been fed and clothed, you know. I was disappointed. I felt like a failure. We felt like a failure. You go through the whole grief cycle. And there's times still when I go back and forth through the process. But finally, we had just decided it's not our will, but it's God's will. And we just accepted it. Laura's story, I don't know if you know the song that she sings. One of the songs that she sings is Mercies in Disguise. And it says, what if the rain, the storm, the hardest night is your mercies in disguise? What if blessings come through raindrops and healing comes through tears? It's not all hopeless. I can look back now at 46. I can look back on the last 15 years and I can see that we have been given blessings that we would not have had if we had had kids. Being able to go to Kansas City with Marcy and Madison and the adventures that we had, being mistaken for Marcy's wife and Madison's mom, being, that was a fun one, being in a restaurant and these three strange guys come up and ask to pray over Madison. I'm holding Madison so Marcy can finish eating, and I don't even remember the restaurant we were at, but these guys just approached us and asked us if they could pray for my daughter, because I was holding her, and I was like, well, she's not mine, and we just kind of looked at each other, and Marcy was like, okay, so they start praying, and they pray for her legs to grow back. Yeah, that was just one of the many adventures. Was mistaken for grandma one time. The nurse said to Madison, well, mom and grandma can come in. And Madison just looked at her and said, whatever. And And for a minute, I was like, Marcy is 9 months older than I am. How come I'm grandma? But, you know, just little things like that. Eva, those of you knew Eva, that summer before they moved to Colorado, she was sick. Steve was trying to wrap things up at Fort Hays, and I had lost my job. I'd gotten fired, actually, for refusing to cook the books, basically. I was fired just out of the blue. But then Eva got sick, and I was able to spend that summer with her. I was able to get unemployment, and the unemployment lasted as long as Eva was here. It ended the week after Steve and Eva moved to Colorado. If I'd had kids, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I wouldn't have had that time with her. There's been times when I've been able to drop everything and leave when my family needed me or when Bubba's family needed us. We've just been able to, we have the dogs, I have fur babies. Just find somebody to take care of them and we're good to go. And the cat, yeah. When Bubba got hurt at work in, I don't even remember what year that was, was able to go to Wichita. We drove to Wichita, and I spent the next week with him. If we had had kids, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And the biggest one, I think, now is that the decision that I made in 2006, when I had to make a decision, if we would have had kids, our lives would be completely different today. And like Kevin said, I am the proud auntie to a lot of kids. Biologically, I'm the auntie to three nephews and three nieces. Three nephews coming this summer. One is due next week, and the other two are due in September. I'm also known as Aunt Billy to lots of other kids. Some older, some of the kids that I worked with in foster kids, when I worked in the foster care system, call me Aunt Billy. And I'm still in touch with them today. I tried to count how many I'm Aunt Billy to, but I couldn't. I kept losing track. Aunt Billy is my favorite title. It's my favorite thing to do. We get to go to ball games and music concerts, ballet recitals. When I want to see a Disney movie, I can borrow any child I want. I can feed them, take them to McDonald's, let them have pop and ice cream, and then give them back. Some of the older ones call me or Facebook me. Sometimes they seek my advice, or sometimes they just want to hear that I love you. And these people are my blessings in disguise. And I want to close with, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Just enjoy the journey, and joy comes in the morning.
You forgot to mention that when you had your surgery, the doctor thought that you were my mom. Yeah, and Bubba was my dad. Now we're going to hear from another woman who has suffered both loss and great joy as a mother. And so, Marcy, would you come up and share? Oh,
thanks for the laughs, Billy. I needed that. On August 10th, 1991, Scott and I were married. I knew that I wanted to wait until after I had graduated from Fort Hays to start a family. So after graduating, we decided to start one. We tried our own for several years before seeking medical help. I was put on fertility drugs, and after just one short month, became pregnant. I was considered high risk because I'm diabetic. My insulin requirements doubled, and I had to monitor my diet pretty strictly. Towards the end of my pregnancy, I started weekly stress tests, which meant going into the office and being put on a monitor to see how active the baby was. It became rather routine, being hooked up by the same nurses and then pushing the button to mark when I felt the baby move. On April 1st, 97, it was another routine stress test, or so I thought. God certainly had different plans for that day for us. After being hooked up, they had a hard time getting the heartbeat for the baby. My anxiety grew, but I was reassured that was just being stubborn. I had to wait for the doctor to finish with one sonogram before it was my turn. The doctor came in and delivered the news that our son had passed. I was in shock, not knowing what was going to happen now. I knew I had to tell Scott. The nurse called him and he came to the office. When he got there, he saw me in tears and he knew what happened. The doctor told us that we had to deliver our son naturally if at all possible. We checked into the labor and delivery and started the long process of induction. On April 3rd, I had Derek Allen. We did get to see him before they took him away. He was all limp and lifeless, but he had 10 fingers and 10 toes, so he was perfect. We all thought it was the cord that was wrapped around his neck, so that took his life. We had a service for him at Klein's and then burial at St. Joseph. With family and friends, we somehow made it through. We decided to try again after 6 months of healing. Once again, I was put on fertility drugs, and after 3 months, became pregnant. It was the same as last pregnancy, but I was much more guarded on how close I wanted to get to my unborn child. This sounds crazy, but that was how I was going to cope. I heard many people tell me that God doesn't give you what you can't handle. I really hate that phrase. Once again, I had weekly stress tests towards the end of this pregnancy, identical to what we had had before. We had celebrated Scott's birth at Applebee's on October 25th of 98, and I had no idea what was to come. On Monday the 26th, I had a stress test that revealed no heartbeat, but they did a sonogram to confirm what had happened. The office called Scott and told him to come to the office and that it was not good news. I called my mom and she said, "Oh God, not again." With our first son, my room was on the OB floor, so I had to hear the chimes over the speakers every time a child was born. This was like a knife jabbing into my heart. This time, after delivery, they put me on a different floor, which I was very grateful for. We had our second son on my birthday, October 28th of 98. With family and friends, we buried him, Jacob Anthony. My mom was adamant that we do an autopsy this time. I was reluctant, but I agreed. After several months, it was determined that I have a factor 5 Leiden, which is a clotting disorder. Our son had passed from a lack of oxygen due to the blood clots in the umbilical cord, along with the cord wrapped around their necks. I was so mad at God for allowing this to happen to us, but I had no idea of what was to come. We decided to try one last time, and the same thing happened. I was done. After taking fertility drugs, I became pregnant again in 2000. I was given blood thinners every day for my clotting factor and watched very closely by my doctors. On April 3rd, 2001, we had an appointment in Kansas City with specialists because my doctor saw something wrong with her heart. We had a 3D sonogram that showed holes in the heart, scoliosis, and 6 toes on each foot. We later referenced that, and Marilyn Monroe had 6 toes on each foot. I thought that was kind of cool. They told us that we could still abort if we wanted to. We said, absolutely not. As long as the baby had a good heart and good head, we could handle anything else. I was put in the Hayes Hospital the first week of May and monitored for about 2 weeks, then was taken to St. Luke's in Kansas City until the baby was born. At this point, we were just waiting for the lungs to mature. I was able to walk outside or do what I wanted as long as I told the nurses where I was going, which helped me keep my brain busy, not to think of things that could happen. The lungs had finally matured. June 24th, after my third amniocentesis, so the long process of induction began. After 2 days of being induced, the third day I was told if the baby was not here by noon, they were going to take it via C-section. At noon, I had not progressed, so on June 27th, Miss Madison Rose was born. She actually had 9 toes on 1 foot and 7 on the other, scoliosis and 3 holes in her heart. It didn't matter. She was our child. We loved her from the minute we laid eyes upon her. I knew that God had something pretty special planned for us and our child. As you can see, Madison has grown into the beautiful young woman you see now, and we can't wait to see what God has in store for her. I thank God every day for the best job in the world, being a mom. Here's a poem I found online I'd like to close with. And it's tough, so I'll try. I thought of you and closed my eyes and prayed to God today. I asked, "What makes a mother?" And I knew I heard him say, "A mother has a baby. This we know is true. But God, can you be a mother when your baby's not with you?" "Yes, you can," he replied. With confidence in his voice, "I gave many women babies, but when they leave, it's not their choice. Soon I send for a lifetime and others for a day. And some I send to fill your womb, but there is no need to stay. I just don't understand this, God. I want my baby here." He took a breath and cleared his throat. and then I saw a tear. I wish that I could show you what your child is doing today. If you could see your child smile, other children who say, we go to earth and learn our lessons of love and life and fear. My mommy loved me so much, I got to come straight here. I feel so lucky to have a mom who had so much love for me. I learned my lessons very quickly. My mommy set me free. I miss my mommy oh so much, but I visit her each day. When she goes to sleep on her pillows where I stay, I stroke her hair and kiss her cheek and whisper in her ear, Mommy, don't be sad today. I'm your baby and I'm here. So you see, my dear sweet one, your children are okay. Your babies are here in my house. They'll be at heaven's gate for you. So now you see what makes a mother? It's the feeling in your heart. It's the love you had so much of right from the very start. So some on earth may not realize you are a mother until their time is done. They'll be up here with me one day, and you'll know that you're the best one.
Thank you, Marcy. Biology is really the least important thing about motherhood, isn't it? But you know, call your mom today, give her a hug, and don't forget of all the ladies that are important in your life. Your moms, your aunts, your cousins, your friends. It's not just mothers that we celebrate, it's all women today. For Brittany, I will say, this closes our series on hard times. And we'll next week, Doug Dix is going to share a message about faith. And so, thank you, Billy, thank you, Marcy, and thank you for everyone who shared their testimonies through this series. If you get nothing else from the series, I want you to know that you don't have to go through life by yourself. We have a church family here that will love you and care for you and walk through whatever it is with you. And so be encouraged by that.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.